The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Mina Kimes, Harry Lyles Jr., Israel Gutierrez, Pablo Astori. Vitriol, venom, regret, redemption. It all depends on your view and your disposition. Two huge games tonight. Whether the Sixers fans devour Ben Simmons and how the Sabres fans digest Jack Eichel. Let's go.
Nice for booing.
Oh, Pablo Torre here representing Philadelphia 76ers. And Mina Kimes here representing the Brooklyn Nets. If they just cleared out and it was just Harden and Embiid versus Durant and Irving with Ben Simmons, the only person watching, sitting crisscross applesauce at midcourt, I'd be all in. Don't think they're going to do that, but maybe if it goes into double overtime, that'll be the tiebreaker. Pablo, I'll start with you. How should Durant and Irving feel playing Harden? How should Harden feel playing Durant and Irving? And how should and will Philly fans welcome Ben Simmons back? Around the horn, Mr. Torre.
So, Tony, I was talking to Doc Rivers yesterday. I found myself talking to a man.
Inside information.
And he told me that he was, quote, working on the tribute video, which I believe to be a joke.
Okay, he's got jokes.
But also not necessarily terribly far off from what we might see, which is an arena that is full of bloodthirst, that is trying to prove to people that we don't hate this guy as much as you think, but also, clearly, we're going to boo the hell out of this man as much as anyone has been booed in a regular season game since LeBron came back to Cleveland. Like, all of these things are possible. We could get a very funny montage, all of that. I would like to see the Sixers fan base be bigger and better than this, though. I mean, the fact is they got James Harden as a result of Ben Simmons doing everything that they hate him for doing. And if you are Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant, what I think you are wondering to yourself, not even wondering because it's obvious to you, is the version of James Harden that the Sixers are getting tonight and they have gotten in the five games they've had him at point guard, all of which they've won, that's the version that they wanted and the one they did not get deliberately. And so all of these ingredients are there for a blood feud. I love the fact that it is a real blood feud, but I hope that cooler heads at the beginning actually do prevail a little bit for Ben Simmons' sake. I do.
Israel Gutierrez, I'll turn to you on what you expect tonight.
Well, we've already seen video of Philly fans harassing Ben Simmons coming out of a hotel. So we expect some pretty loud boos here. But I'd like the Philly fans to just sort of think about it, as Pablo said, for a little bit. Not only do you have James Harden, so Ben Simmons did not nuke your season. In fact, he improved your season. And with the improvement of Tyrese Maxey, and you didn't have to give him up in the trade, like, you've got a perfect situation, it seems like, right now. And so, and if you're going to boo him basically for what? For last year, not to, you're still going to harp on that as if you were like, he's the reason you didn't win a championship. I think you're probably going a little bit too far there. So frankly, you should applaud the guy for getting you a James Harden in return. I do think Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, on the other hand, are going to go hard as they've gone all season. I think they're angry at James Harden, KD probably a little bit more so than Kyrie. And I think he wants to prove to him, hey, we don't necessarily need you. You were kind of a luxury. And if we face each other in the playoffs, we might beat you with Ben Simmons. So I think that's the kind of statement they want to put out.
Harry Lyles Jr., your expectations for tonight?
First, I can't help but laugh, like Pablo and Izzy, like asking like Philadelphia fans to be bigger and better and be rational.
Well, I mean,
like,
wait,
when have fans of
fans are allowed to boo, right? I mean, have we got to a place where they're not allowed to boo?
Of course they are.
Okay,
they are.
Harry, please.
But will they?
Booing and
100%. Like I'm just saying, there's never been a fan base that has ever been rational about anything, good or bad, right? So that's not going to happen tonight. I am looking forward to this game, though. I think it's going to be scrappy. It's in Philadelphia, which, I mean, if you're going to have a scrappy game, it's going to be there. You've got a team and a fan base that feels wronged by somebody sitting on the opposing bench. You've got a couple of guys in Durant and Embiid who are not afraid. afraid to butt heads on the floor. That's going to be entertaining. And then from a basketball perspective, I think we are going to see a defensive effort from the Nets tonight that we have never seen out of them before. It might not be their best, but you will see the effort. I don't think there's anything more that Kevin Durant wants than to, one, shut James Harden down tonight, and two, score a million points. So I think those are the things that we're going to see.
Mina Kimes.
Well, at the risk of sounding like someone conducting a mass group therapy session, I kind of think all parties involved are entitled to some feelings of frustration. Obviously, Sixers fans. Obviously, Irving and Durant with how Harden handled things on the way out. But also James Harden, candidly. Like he didn't ask for the whole Kyrie situation. He didn't sign up for that. And to some degree, I don't blame him for wanting out. My only hope is that for the most part, the drama tonight is reserved to basketball, because as Harry said, this is a hell of a matchup. Even without Ben Simmons, who I wish was playing, frankly, you know, these are two extraordinarily good teams. The Sixers, since the trade, are appropriately plus 76 with Harden and Embiid on the floor. It's amazing. They stumbled into a big three with Maxey. And then on the other side, I agree with everyone that I think, you know, Durant is going to play the best basketball of the season, or of his season, rather. So I'm just excited to see these two teams.
You know, I realized I gave you the algorithm filter for something that was just the number 76. It's not a lot of science in there, but I'll go ahead and allow it. Pablo Torre back in.
It's perfect, though, right?
I'll throw another round number at you, right? Kyrie Irving just scored 50 points against the Hornets.
Oh, that how does he do happened. It? Yes.
And what they need, what the Nets need, Tony, the Nets need to prove that they are better than a play-in team. The Nets season is actually on the line game to game. The Sixers are in a great spot. And so when Mina says she wishes Ben Simmons would play, that is rooted in an instinct of survival. Like, they don't have time to waste at this point. That's on the line in this game, too.
Gutierrez.
I think, look, Ben Simmons, this isn't going to be a LeBron back in Cleveland in 2010 situation. It's not going to be that bad. First of all, he's not going to be in uniform. Whenever he comes out, there will be a loud chorus of boos. Everybody will be on the lookout for that. But then it's pretty much going to die down.
You think?
And you might see some stuff. Yeah, on television, you might hear some stuff during the breaks. But overall, they're going to be distracted by the play on the floor.
All right, make a prediction here, Harry Lyles Jr. The final of the game and the one outcome that will be the biggest headline.
I'm going Sixers 115, 111, and Tyrese Maxey's going to be the main character.
Tyrese Maxey's going to be the main character. I wasn't prepared for that. Okay, Mina Kimes, how about you?
I'm going to go Nets 118, 112, and the headline is going to be Kevin Durant just going up.
Pablo.
Yeah, give me the Sixers by like a dozen, and give me no handshakes after
Gutierrez.
That's the headline.
I mean, I didn't know we were going scores here, but I'm going to go 109-101 Brooklyn and Kyrie Irving, star of the show.
We'll move on. The most anticipated hockey game of the week and the month. Jack Eichel's return to Buffalo after their very public divorce last year and his very serious neck surgery. And his comeback with Vegas this season. 10 games so far, 3 goals. Harry, how should Sabres fans feel about Eichel? And how will they react tonight?
I feel like the reaction is going to be a little bit all over the place, but I'm hoping that it's going to be overwhelmingly positive, more so than negative, just because I do think that given this situation, I think that he honestly made the right move for himself. That is a very serious neck injury that he had. The team doctors obviously felt one way, he wanted to go another after getting a second opinion. And I do think that it is a little naive to assume that a team is always looking out for the best interest of the player, even when it comes to their health. Just because sometimes it's about getting a guy back out there. And if it's like, hey, if we're going to get enough out of him, then this will do. So I think it was a good decision for him. I think it's going to be tough for him. I hope they're kind to him. And, you know, I'm kind of interested to see how the whole Bills Mafia type of attitude translates to hockey, since I don't quite follow them that close. But I think that'll be interesting.
Well, thank you for telling us you don't follow them that close, Harry Lyles Jr. Israel Gutierrez.
I'm not so sure how a fan can't relate to this one a little bit more. The idea that the NHL, it's collectively bargained, that their team has the final say in how you go about an injury or you know, getting better from an injury. And the idea that he couldn't even choose his own surgery here, I think it is mind-blowing. It's absolutely mind-blowing, especially when you're talking about the spine, you're talking about the neck here. And so I would hope that fans could see, hey, with an organization that probably wasn't great and a situation that is not ideal for him, that he, you know, went along and went to a better team and found himself in a better situation. And again, probably made the right decision for himself medically. So it's hard to imagine a lot of boos. I wouldn't be surprised by it, but it's really hard to take the side of the organization.
Pablo Torre.
You know, it's a fascinating story, right? Jack Eichel, one of the greatest scorers in the league right now, a young guy, had his captaincy stripped from him because he wanted to go and get a surgery that had never been performed on an NHL player before, and he wanted to do it because he could return sooner rather than the team wanted him to. And so I do think there are rational reasons for him to actually be welcomed back to Buffalo, but again, I'm reminded, like, these fans also otherwise throw themselves through tables. And so I'm not expecting a lot in terms of rationality winning the day in this one either.
Hmm. And Mina Kimes.
Well, I guess I'm going to continue the bit from my first answer and say I empathize a little bit with Sabres fans here. Since we're trying to diagnose the feelings of various fan bases, in terms of being angry at Eichel, but just general frustration, right? We're talking about a team that hasn't won a playoff game in a decade, that's 2-8 over the last 10 games, and Eichel was supposed to come in and save the franchise and be their face, and that didn't happen. I do think the frustration should be directed at the team more so than him, because ever since he came in and was drafted, multiple head coaching changes, good players traded away, more than one rebuild. Eichel didn't do everything perfectly, sure, but he's not responsible for any of that, and if fans are angry, that's what they should be mad at.
Well, you know, I accept the representation of everything you guys just say. You know how I feel about mental health, which is part of the Ben Simmons story as well, as he has told us, that mental health is simply health. And much like a broken cervical disc in your neck, mental health is much like that too. Many of the things you said about Eichel, I feel, apply to Ben Simmons, but the benefit of the doubt in how fans see it is different in your mind. Not different for me. It's not. Feel those feelings though, fans. Don't bottle that stuff up. Put it out there. Just do it in a way that is restricted to booze and not maybe throwing things on the court or
ice. All right. That's fair.
Coming up,
Vegas 4-1.
The selfless act of passing. Who could possibly criticize someone for giving up the most prized possession in the sport, the ball, to somebody else? Oh yeah, that's right. Everybody can criticize LeBron for last night. Although, I'll say this, it's different if Melo hits that shot, isn't it? Buy or sell in 2 minutes.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
Listen to this. LeBron James and why he passed last night.
On the drive, I had an angle, for sure. And then David Nwaba came over, and I took a long 1-2 step and ended up behind the backboard. I was a little bit off balance, and I could have forced a reverse layup, but I wasn't in a position to feel like I could have got a great look. And I feel like Melo's look was a lot better than mine, so it's literally that simple.
LeBron's got incredible recall, doesn't he? Passing up what could have been the game winner at the rim, Rockets blowing the Lakers out in overtime. This, of course, turned into an enormous culture war because every play is a referendum on everything. Truth, LeBron is not the GOAT. Proof that the game is broken and teams just want to shoot threes and they're obsessed with that. Mina, is LeBron deserving of criticism here? Is the game of basketball as conceived today deserving of criticism? Or is no one because stuff happens?
You know, I'm buying his explanation there. From some angles, you can see how off balance he was. It was a great pass, honestly. What I'm not buying, though, is his effort in overtime after Russell Westbrook missed an easy layup. And you just saw LeBron not getting back on defense. Total defeat. And I don't blame him, because this was supposed to be an easy win facing a Rockets team that had gone 2-17 for this game. Now the Lakers have the hardest schedule in the NBA. Things are not very sunny in Los Angeles.
Ari Lyles Jr.
Yeah, I'm buying that he made the right play. I think that obviously it looked like he could have made a tough attempt at a layup there. And I think because of how great LeBron is, we expect that he could make that shot. But Melo had a better look at it. Even Melo said, hey, when I saw the replay, like, I would have made the same play that LeBron did. And I think that honestly, this is also kind of a reminder that, hey, like, LeBron is getting a little older. And I think if he was 25 years old, we probably would have expected him to just dunk that basketball. But we're not at that point anymore.
Israel Gutierrez.
Tony, I do agree that LeBron has great recall, but he probably also watched that video about 10 times before he got on that podium, so he remembered exactly
why. Okay. I don't know.
He knew every single detail. But the one complaint that I have is I feel like he could have drawn the foul on Nwobu there. He had him up in the air, didn't even look to draw that foul, could have gone on the free throw line, won the game that way. But outside of that, it would have taken, like, you know, one of those Dr. J from behind the backboard type of reverse spin layups to put it in. And Melo hitting along, too, is what he's done his entire career. So overall, no, can't really complain.
And how about you, Pablo?
Look, Tony, I think it was the wrong decision by LeBron. I think he should have taken the shot. It was a tie game, didn't need a three or a long two. I get that. But I sell the criticism of him in terms of, like, what he is, like, existentially. LeBron, not a natural scorer. LeBron, too afraid in the clutch. That take is old enough to vote. We've been hearing that criticism of LeBron for 18 years. He has won championships every which way. He's proven how clutch he is. It's a bad call, not a bad quality of the man.
Buy or sell two ACC tournament today. Duke 88, Syracuse 79. This was a fun one. Krzyzewski's season goes on. Jim Boeheim's ends in his first losing season ever. And that loss having much more sting with the suspension of his son, Buddy Boeheim, for yesterday's punch. The debate over whether the punch, not seen or called in the game, was worthy of a suspension ACC gave it. Jay Billis said no, it was wrong to end Buddy Boeheim's career like that. Coach K also, after today's game, talked about it. Harry, was it wrong to suspend Buddy Boeheim for that punch?
Tony, I feel on the fence about it, but I'm going to buy that it's fair. Like, you know, we all know that actions do have consequences, and I think in this scenario, a lot of people think that the line is drawn at a swing, right? It's why we had that conversation about Juwan Howard a week or two ago. But I still don't feel good about it. It's unfortunate because he's indicated that this is going to be his last season. And I think to remember, Buddy Boeheim, he's been a pretty good college player. He plays for his dad. I'm sure he's thought of a million different ways that his college career was going to end. And I don't think that he thought it was going to look like that. And I can't help but have empathy for
somebody.
I
think he's better than pretty good, right, Harry? He was first team all conference, leading scorer in the conference. And this was a winnable game as the way it played out because of his brother, Jimmy Boeheim, and the way he scored today. Mina Kimes, I saw your face when you were watching the punch. What were you thinking?
I was thinking, ow, that looks like it really hurts. I mean, if you want to end the season on your own terms, don't punch another player in the gut. I understand Jay's objection procedurally because they didn't get the call in real time, but the optics of letting him play after doing something so frankly egregious would have been terrible.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of, Pablo Torre, how about you?
Yeah, to me, Tony, the cover-up was actually worse than the crime in question. The cover-up meaning his dad, Jim Boeheim, saying that this was inadvertent. And at that point, that's just an insult to intelligence, right? This is on purpose. I wasn't horrified by it. But if you throw a punch, yeah, you're going to get docked even if you're supposed to, like, call that
in the
moment.
So even if the referees miss it in the game, and even if it wasn't adjudicated in the game, again, Coach K said that today. It should have been adjudicated in the game. It was missed. It should just go on. Israel, how do you see it?
It doesn't look suspendable, and this is the part that bugs me, and I'm sure Jay Billis as well. If they would have caught that at the time, and if he would have been ejected from that game, that would have been punishment enough. No need to retroactively make up for your mistake of not catching it. I'm not of the opinion, hey, I didn't catch it, you can never look at it again. But in this particular case, that would have seemed to be enough of a punishment. In the next game, he's back. So that's why I don't think it should have been a suspendable, you know, retroactively.
Fire cell 3, Suns 111, Heat 90 last night. Phoenix clamps down on defense. Monty Williams called it one of the best defensive performances he's ever seen. Miami scoring 35 total in the second half. Israel, you devoted your FaceTime to this game yesterday, predicted a Miami win. Before you get to give a takeaway, I get to give a takeaway. Go ahead, Israel.
A completely unnecessary prediction on my part. But look, my main takeaway on this was Phoenix, and Monty mentioned it, the best switching defense I think I've ever seen.
Really?
And I don't know if they've been playing this way all season because I haven't caught all of the Suns game, but last night they were spectacular there. That was without CP3 there. Granted, the Heat didn't have Jimmy Butler, but I don't think that would have made it.
Pablo, takeaway? Last
night. No, Suns culture? That the Suns helped the Heat to 35 points in the second half.
Him.
The Suns have turned JaVale McGee into a useful player suddenly. Tony, this is a team that is clearly the best. They clinched a playoff spot before everyone else knows. They deserve everything.
Gina Kimes.
Yeah, I don't just think the Suns are the best team in the West. I think the best team in the league right now. That was my takeaway. First half, I thought this would be an amazing finals and also would lend itself to many incredible puns given these team names. But in the second half, watching the Suns, I just felt, wow, this team is a cut above their defense, their toughness.
This is without Chris Paul. Yeah.
Booker's facilitating. They're incredible.
Harry Lyles Jr.
Yeah, that was my takeaway as well. The Suns are clearly the best team in the NBA. They were out without Chris Paul. They've been without him. I know the Heat were without Jimmy Butler, but I think if you're the Suns, one promising thing that you saw last night, like you said, was Devin Booker's facilitating. He had 9 assists last night, the second most that he's had all year. The Suns team, they're complete. They're playing great defense. You know, looking good.
Let that be the last word.
He did beat the Suns by 28 points in Phoenix without Bam Adebayo and Jimmy Butler, though.
Something that could have been brought to our attention earlier is Rui Gutierrez.
Also like a fungus.
That's what you get for making a prediction nobody asked for. Pablo Torre, Mina Kimes. The rivalry continues in showdown.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I was told that they were going to take care of the people in the FBI stuff. So I told somebody, I'm going to grow my hair until something happens. Obviously, it's still growing. And that's the sad part of our business.
Bruce Weber resigned from Kansas State today. That was expected by some. He was emotional and beautiful in recalling his time there after last night's loss. But Mina, how'd you hear him calling out NCAA sleaze and growing out his hair in protest?
Well, I mean, I think he's not wrong about the sleaziness and some of the things going on in college basketball. I also think that has nothing to do with his lack of success in recent seasons. And I also think, by the way, he should be thrilled because what a head of lettuce at that age. I mean, that's my biggest takeaway, Bruce Weber.
No, exactly. No, Tony, he has a problem with President Mark Emmert, which I respect, while looking like President George Washington. What a look for this man. He should be on currency. He waited this long till the very end to grow it out like that?
I think he had a very nice run at Kansas State, too. I think Kansas State fans, I mean, understand he needs to go, but they should be happy with the 10 years and the trophies he put in there. We'll move on. Champions League, PSG blowing a 2-goal lead for all intents and purposes to Real Madrid. And Benzema was crazy with this hat trick. Pablo, credit to Madrid or blame to PSG for that?
You have to blame PSG. This is the most expensive collection of soccer talent of all time. So, yeah, sorry.
Mina?
I agree, and this is appropriate bookend to the show coming off the Nets because there's something delicious for fans about watching a super team fail. This is on PSG.
It's tough to say I agree with your competitor in showdown, Mina. Pablo Torre gets the win over Kimes.
So, guys, I'm living a bit of a nightmare. I once was the only Pablo Torre on the planet that I was really, truly aware of. My Google alerts were fine. My mentions were clean. But now there is a soccer prospect signed by Barcelona who's 18 and awesome, named Pablo Torre. And I just wanted to know, this is like a Highlander situation, man. There can be only one, and it's me. It is this guy. Not you, me.
This Pablo Torre is good.
We'll see you tomorrow.